Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee. Again, we are blessed. We keep saying that, but we truly are blessed. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. It's the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Great day today. I think that's just God's way of saying I talk too much because I'm losing my voice. I apologize for that. And let me just, first I want to give a disclaimer. We have really, really heavy winds here, gusting to 60, 65 miles an hour. So, it's a very good chance we may lose the internet, but since we already have the Zoom started, it's okay. So if I drop off, if we lose power here, it shouldn't affect the cynical. Just continue because simply stated, you don't need me for the cynical. I'm going to bring in Mother Gabriel, Marie, and the sisters right now. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. Hello, Peter.
How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Excellent. Let me just stop this here. Allergies are kicking up. It's really, really windy here, but haven't lost power yet. So everything is great. It really is. And I was just telling everyone, in case we do lose power and I drop, it's okay because you can continue with the cynical. I think, excuse me, I think everything stays the way it is. You just, you know, minus me, which is no big deal. You don't really need me. So great news. Mother?
Yes. Yeah, I can't hear you, Peter. We don't have this speaker up for some reason or some kind of problem.
Okay. Yeah, we have to just to give everyone an update on the studio that we were we were building. We're running into some small delays, we'll call them. Yeah, the other side loves to have fun. One of which was a brand new computer, business HP, top of the line. I mean, all the bells and whistles, very expensive to do what Mother and the sisters need to do. And it was dead on arrival. So we set that back. We're going to be getting a new one. Also, the microphones, one of the best in the business. There are several that are not working right now, so we have to send those back. So appreciate your patience. Sorry you don't have the speaker, but like I said, if in case I dropped off, you don't need me. If you can't hear me, you still don't need me. That you are not losing anything. As long as we can hear you, Mother, and the sisters, I think we're okay. Can you hear any of that? No? Okay, now your mic is not working. I can't hear you, Mother. Is the microphone on? Yeah. Not even the internal microphone is not working for the can't hear you. So, can anyone hear Mother? Is it just me? Can anyone hear me? Mother, can you hear me? No? Okay, Don says yes. Okay. Okay, right. Well, they're muted, but Mother's not muted, right? Go back up to that again. I remove the pin. Let's go back to the sisters and see if it's something that we can navigate from this side. Try now, Mother. No. Please.
No. Hello, Peter. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Now I can hear you. It's not great, but it's. You. Can't hear me? Well, it's okay. You don't need to hear me. Okay. So the microphones are not working. We're using the backup microphone, the old microphone.
Now say something, Peter. See if I can hear you.
Yeah, actually, I've been talking. I don't stop talking. Sister Gloria.
Okay, we have to remember what you did and show up.
No, it was in the same position, but somehow
they don't work. It didn't work. No.
Yeah, let me try chatting you something. Maybe the speaker is not selected to the right.
We can hear you now.
I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We can hear you too now. I think something clicked and it worked. So I don't.
Okay.
We have to figure out what was wrong and just do it right next time. Hopefully. Maybe okay, we can get on ahead of time if you can. From now on, we can get on ahead of time with you to figure it all out.
Sure, that'd be great. Okay, so just to get it straight, so I know what I have to do. So besides the computer we sent back, now the microphones and the processor that synthesizes all that and blends all the mics, that's not working either?
I don't know, Sister Gloria.
No, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Really?
No.
Wow, and all this stuff was new. This was not used equipment. Wow. So good thing is it's all under warranty, and we actually took an extended warranty. For other types of damage that may or may not happen down the road. So, okay, so we have to address that. But I think for now, Mother, I think it's adequate for our needs. I mean, it's not perfect, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay. I think it's I can hear you very clearly. If you can hear me, maybe we could just keep doing it this way.
Yeah.
You don't need all this equipment if this is working.
Well, it's working, but it's not optimal. I mean, it's to listen for an hour and a half, it's, you know, the equipment is necessary. It's actually only effective when it's working. When it doesn't work, it seems like a terrible waste of time and money. But yeah, we'll get all that squared away. And again, I think this is just the other side playing games, and that's okay because he knows he's losing. Okay, so Mother, that looks nice. You're on the comfy couch. So Mother, again, one of the things that we've talked about before is, and I think you've given us some such beautiful advice on that, is, you know, to stay with the rounds, stay with the axe, don't necessarily be bogged down with anything that's going on in the world. Now, Jesus does tell us in one of the volumes, you know your history, know what is around you, only so we don't have our head in the sand, so we can take appropriate measures, but not to get overwhelmed with it, not to allow it to take up time, valuable time, from our study, from our practice, and from our journey in the divine will. So I think that's really good information.
Yeah, people, you know, you can read a lot of visions, a lot of things happening, like, you know, in October, the reports were going around that you shouldn't travel in October, the month of October, it would be dangerous to travel. Well, nothing ever happened. People have been traveling through October. And how many people listened to all those messages and kept reading them and reading them and spending all the time getting worried and concerned about that, and nothing ever happened. So I think we can worry about a lot of things that don't exist by reading all these things and listening to all this. The news, you listen to some of that, but you know that you can get carried away with news too. Then you worry. And when you worry, our Lord told Louisa, you're out of his will. So we're not supposed to be worrying. And if you listen to all that, you're going to worry. You're going to be concerned. So we have to protect ourselves from the outside world if we want to live on the inside world, interior with Jesus within ourselves, realizing and indwelling. I was just reading this week. I've been reading the messages of Our Lady of America to Sister Ephraim. You know, and one message that really hit me was Saint Joseph said that he was conceived with original sin, but shortly after, original sin was wiped from his soul, and he never committed one sin, and that he is co-redeemer with Our Lady. You know, now the church hasn't considered Our Lady. I mean, we consider Our Lady as co-redemptrix. You know, I believe she is. You know, but anyway, and then another thing further on, Our Lady said that she was continually realizing the divine indwelling in her soul. From the time of her conception, her whole life, she realized the indwelling of the Trinity within her soul. She was in her soul with God, you know, reigning there with him, dwelling there with him, not reigning, but dwelling there with him and within herself. So I think if we're going to live in the divine will, we have to have that realization of the divine indwelling. And if you have that realization of the divine indwelling, you're not going to be wanting to be wasting all your time watching news. You're going to enjoy the divine indwelling, the presence of God within you, you know. And I think the only way we can get there is to realize, to think of his presence within. When you pray, to go within yourself, pray into him,
within yourself, and you're going to realize more and more the presence of God within. I read the book many years ago of Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence realized he had a special gift from God to realize the divine indwelling, the Trinity dwelling in his soul. And he said that everyone could benefit. He got a special grace to do it. But it said everyone could benefit and get closer and closer to realizing the divine indwelling if they practice it. If you practice just a little bit, you're going to realize you have peace and joy more than you had before. And the more you practice it, the more you get in the habit of realizing the Trinity dwelling in your soul. Then if you're going to realize that God does everything in and through us in divine will, doing divine acts, we're going to realize that we have to realize his divine indwelling. That yes, he is within us, doing everything in and through us. He just wants to realize his presence within. And you're going to have perfect joy when you come to that. St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, St. John Paul II, when he was canonized, so he called her the saint of the divine of the interior life, because she had a special grace like Brother Lawrence to realize the presence of God within all the time. And she had great joy and peace always. I was just reading too about resignation, how important it is to be resigned to everything that happens from moment to moment, every day of your life. In one of Louisa's letters, she said, apprehension worsens the trouble and makes one see it darker and maybe worse than it really is. And then, my daughter, I must tell you the truth. If you resign yourself, your state is the greatest state of sanctity. It is a jealousy of God that takes creatures away from you. It is because of the great love he has for you that jealous, wanting to be loved and loving you very much, he takes everyone away from you. Therefore, thank the Lord, for he has placed his divine eyes upon you and to make you a saint. And if you are resigned and patient, you will convert the one who despises you. So people may be against you sometimes, may give you a hard time. You may have many struggles with relationships with other people. Because maybe God wants your whole heart focused on him. He wants you to realize his presence within, for you to look at him within yourself, and then you're going to have that peace and that joy, and you're going to realize more and more that Jesus is doing everything within you, and you're going to continually call him in all your activities. But the more you call him in your activities, it becomes a habit. The more you do it, the more after a while, like Louisa, you might not have to be saying, Jesus, come do this in me, come do that in me. It's going to automatically, you're going to be aware of him doing everything in and through you by realizing the divine indwelling. I can't see it. Not in the front of the speaker, but yeah, right there. She's trying to move the clock so we can see what time it is. Okay. But our Lord, she says in her letter, but I recommend perfect resignation. This is the shortest and safest way, because with it, we hold a divine power in our hands, and we are not the ones who ask and pray, but the fiat itself asks and prays within us. So when you're praying, if you realize the presence of the divine indwelling, Trinity dwelling in your soul, you realize that he's praying in you. How can the Father say no to his son, Jesus? If you realize that Jesus is praying the prayer in you to the Father's going to answer your prayers more readily. Just like we know Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces. Now, Our Lord cannot say no to his mother. So you get Our Lady on your side. You get her asking for you. You can be more sure that your prayers will be answered. And another letter, she says, peace, trust, courage, resignation, and prayer. And the Lord won't be missing to you. All that the Lord allows for you is nothing but the means to become a saint. Therefore, do not bother about what your thoughts say to you, but kiss the divine will, which disposes everything for our good. So even our crosses are ways of God purifying us to raise us to a higher level of holiness. And our Lord told Louisa in the Divine Reminders, this cross is the greatest gift. If we realize that the value of the cross, we would compete with each other to have more crosses. But we don't in this life understand the value of the cross. We don't like to suffer. We try to get suffering away from us. We try to alleviate our suffering and pain. I'm not saying you don't take medication to try to do something to help yourself. If you have work to do, you need to be in good health. You need to feel good. That's true. But when nothing happens, God, the pain remains, the cross is still there. You say, thank you, Jesus. Resign yourself to the fact that our Lord is giving you the gift of the cross. It says, crosses make us to be reborn to a new life of sanctity and grace. Therefore, the crosses which are born with true resignation make us like Jesus and are our rebirths in good, in love, and in the divine vision, which wants to be our life. So let us make everything flow in the holy will if we want to it to perform its prodigies of love in our souls. So the crosses are there for us to embrace, like Jesus embraced his cross. He says in the scriptures, if you want to be my follower, you must pick up your cross and follow me. So how many crosses we have throughout the day? They may be little tiny crosses. But the smallest little cross experience with resignation and gratitude to God can become a great, great gift. The smallest cross can become a big cross in the eyes of God when you resign yourself to it. Even a little prick on your finger, resign to the or a little burn. You burn your finger when you're cooking or something. I do that quite often. You know, the little tiny cross of a burn, say thank you, Jesus, can be like a big gift that you're giving to God, even though it's a tiny little thing, because you resign yourself to it and you thank him for it. So don't lose out on all these little gifts that God's given you throughout the day to give your fiat, to accept whatever's happening, whether it's someone that's against you or upset with you. You resign yourself, you say thank you, Jesus, fiat, for this cross that you're allowing me to suffer right now. Now, it doesn't mean the cross won't hurt, because if it doesn't hurt, it's not a cross. If it's going to purify you, it has to be a bit painful. So God wants you to accept it, to be grateful for it, to give your fiat, and to realize that he loves you, and that's why he's allowing the cross. He disciplines his children. The more he loves you, the more he's going to send that discipline that he knows you need to prepare your soul for eternity. I mean, life is short, but one stab at it, you know, and eternity is forever. If our eternity can be improved by the little crosses that are sent to us on a daily basis, then, you know, we can have a greater eternity. So she goes on in volume one here, our Lord says, don't you know that I am spirit of peace? And the first thing I recommend is that you do not disturb the peace of the heart. When in prayer, you are not able to recollect yourself, I do not want you to think of this or that, or how it is or how it is not. Because in doing so, you yourself call the distraction. Instead, when you find yourself in that state, the first thing to do is to humble yourself, confessing that you deserve those pain, and placing yourself in the arms of the executioner, like a humble little lamb that licks his hand while he kills it, the same for you. While seeing yourself beaten, disheartened, and alone, you will resign yourself to my holy dispositions. You will thank me with all your heart. You will kiss my hand that strikes you, recognizing yourself unworthy of those pains. Then you will offer to me that bitterness, anguish, and tedium. Pray in me to accept them as a sacrifice of praise, of satisfaction for your sins, and of reparation for the offenses that they give me. If you do so, your prayer will ascend before my throne as most fragrant incense. It will warm my heart, and you will draw new graces and new charisms upon me. And seeing you humble and resigned, all plunged into your nothingness, the devil will not have to get close. And here is how: where you thought you were losing, you will make great gains. So, you know, thank God for these little pricks that he sends your way throughout the day. That's helping you to become holier, helping you to become more resigned. You know, the other day we had no electricity, a lot of wind here, trees fell. There was a tree that fell on the line nearby. So maybe 24 hours or so, we had no power, no heat, no water even for the bathrooms, you know. And it was good, very good. Just a tiny little cross to suffer from the cold, from, you know, toilets not flushing. We had to collect some water somewhere because the water wasn't running. So, you know, these little tiny crosses that we get coming our way helps us to realize how spoiled we are with all these conveniences God has given us. And when they're taken away from us, how do we accept them? Do we say, thank you, Jesus, you know, for the cross, for what we have to endure? Thank you, and realize, and it was fun, kind of, it was fun. We got some little flashlights, you know, we got batteries, and we were able to see around the house a bit, you know. But we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We may have bigger ones than that, longer power outages, you know. So how do we deal with it, you know? How do we give our fiat in those getting, you know, losing all those things that we're so used to? Internet, we may not have internet after a while. We may not have running water after a while. You know, how are we going to get our fiat? And if we can't take the little tiny crosses we have today, how will we take the big crosses that come our way? I think COVID was a cross that our Lord allowed in our lives to help people to get ready for the greater ones that may be coming. You know, it was a cross that people isolated from each other, and people suffered from that cross, but it made people grow in holiness, I think, in certain ways. And so no matter what happens, you might be on the road with a flat tire and you fall, you give your fiat, and rather than get upset, you know, and just grumble within because of the problem, the inconvenience that you have to suffer. No, all these little inconveniences God allows in our lives for us to raise to a higher level in holiness. Whether it's an argument you had with your husband or something, give your fiat. Be kind and sweet and nice to your husband. Love anyway, forgive anyway, and go on. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So you must forgive all those who have caused obstacles in your life that's caused you harm. Forgive, and God will forgive you. And you'll be happier when you forgive. You're not happy when you don't forgive. When you hold a grudge, when you're angry with family members, you hold a grudge, you're not happy. You become happy again when you forgive them and go on and love them anyway. So I encourage you to accept every little inconvenience that comes and say, thank you, Jesus. I give you my fiat.
Yeah, so as Mother was saying, it's so important to like accept our daily crosses in life. And I just thought of a Bible verse recently, and it was on gold tested by fire. So basically, like, the more you purify gold in the fire, the more pure it gets. And that's what Jesus is doing with all our souls. And the more we live in the divine will, yes, the more we will suffer, and the more we get closer to the sunlight, even in the natural world, the more we see like spots of imperfections. And likewise, the closer we get to Jesus, the more he shows us our imperfections. So that way, it'll help us to live more in the divine will. And I'd like to read a passage from Volume 31, February 24th, 1933. Where Jesus talks about how the truth, the divine truth that he plants in our souls, and how God is a celestial farmer who sows the seeds of the divine will in the soil of our souls. So Jesus tells us through Louisa, you must know that my truths are seeds that I, celestial farmer, continue to sow in souls. And if I make my sowing with certainty, I must gather the fruit. Many times it happens to me, as to a poor sower who casts a seed into the earth, but for lack of moisture, the earth does not have the strength to eat the seed in order to digest it and convert it into earth and give a substance that has been absorbed from the seed to give to the poor farmer 10, 20, 100 of the seed that the earth has eaten. So this also reminds me of the parable in the Gospels, where Jesus talked about the farmer sowing the seeds, how some seeds were sown on rocky ground, others on thorny ground, but then the seeds that were sown in fertile ground, those taken good care of, those were the people who were at the word of God, and they had their crops multiplied to 30, not 50, and 100-fold. And likewise, with these truths of the divine will, it's so important not only to read it and not to just put it in the corner, but to really read it and comprehend it. And in that way, the seed won't just like stay in our souls, but the seed will really germinate and flourish in us. And the more acts and amounts we do in the divine will, the more this growing this budding tree of the divine will growing our souls. And then in another part of this passage, Jesus tells us, everything is in that I have already made the sowing in her the thing most necessary, most substantial, most interesting, that is, manifested my truth. If I have done my labor, the main part has been put forth in work. I have formed your earth in order to catch.
Hello, can anybody hear me? This is Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn, I can hear you, but we just can't hear the sisters. This is Beth.
Okay, where do I go to unmute the sisters?
Well, you just have to scan over their little picture and you should be able to find the mute button.
Okay, it says ask to unmute.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, now hello, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Dawn. That's what happened.
Okay. We lost Peter. I don't know what happened to him.
His weather. The weather's bad there.
I see. Okay. It's the weather.
Bad weather. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm continuing on. So earlier, before the pause, I was saying about how the divine interest are seeds that Jesus has planted in our souls. And it's so important to just continue to practice what we read and to not be hypocrites. Like when we say a truth, to just practice like what we preach and what we read, and to really like allow these sufferings in our life to really purify us. Yes, it's also hard for me too, like when sufferings come, to like always accept it, but with the grace of God and the more we live in the divine will, it's also been easier for me to accept sufferings the more I've been reading the divine will. And so continuing on with this passage, everything ends in that I've already made the sowing and everything most necessary, most substantial, most interesting, that is, manifested my truths. If I have done my labor, the main part has been put forth in work. I have found your earth in order to cast my seed. The rest will come by itself. And the doubts, the difficulties, the pain serve just like the wood, the fire. The poor farmer will make you sow in order to cook the harvested seed and make them in his food. They serve for me and you as sons in order to make my truths mature in hearts, as wood and fire in order to give them not with words alone, but with practice, and by the sacrifice of the fire of their own life, to cook them in order to convert them into the sweetest food and to feed it to the creatures. So in this passage here, when it talks about the wood and the fire, the farmer would use to cook the seed to make it to his delicious food. I really believe that's like the sacrifices, the mortification God allows in our lives that really transform us. And it's such a blessing, and it's really important to see like the blessing in disguise. Like, yes, we may be suffering something at the moment, but this life is so short compared to eternity. Eternity is forever, and God's relationship with the soul is forever. And also, I remember reading in this book, That Which Awaits Us, the Blessed said that, the Blessed said to this Dr. Ricardo, when she appeared to him, she said that, when the Blessed in heaven see the pilgrim souls on earth wasting sufferings, it's like seeing millions of dollars being wasted away. And when I read that, I was like, wow. Like the Blessed, they really understand the value of suffering. And it's not just for our own sanctification, but now in the divine will, we can suffer in reparation for souls past, present, and future who have now, who are now, and who will never suffer in the divine will.
Yeah, like Sister Jacinta mentioned, you know, that book, That Which Awaits Us. It's true that the Blessed in heaven, they know well now, those who have gone before us, they already have knowledge of the divine will. So they would realize how important our sufferings are and that how valuable each act that we do out of love of God, acts, especially acts done in divine will. And I would like to really share with you my meditation on the, you know, on how our, especially tied to the reading, second reading today, and how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mother mentioned about resignation and how we are going to resign ourselves, how we resign ourselves to the will of God. And when we read this volume, so of course, we learn about the divine will and the permissive will of God. And both wills are really in God's power. And so I would like to share with you the meditation. I would like to begin with the second reading from Mass today, because this really ties to indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my body. So from 1 Corinthians, from St. Paul to the Corinthians, it says, "Brothers and sisters, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Now, how do we glorify God in our body? The best way to glorify God in our body is that realization that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore all of our human acts must be all pointed towards the acts of Jesus Christ. Because our religion, the Roman Catholic Church, we believe, we were taught that Jesus is 100% human, but he is also 100% divine. And so if he is 100% divine, 100% human, all of our human acts, united to Jesus' acts, has to be divine. You know, we go to Mass and we receive the Holy Eucharist. We believe that the Holy Eucharist is body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. We receive him and the Holy Eucharist with that knowledge. And what a great privilege, really, that we receive that. And we spend 15 minutes, you know, meditating on him after communion. But the reality is that God, Jesus Christ, human, that Jesus Christ who is God and human, he doesn't only desire to stay with us for 15 minutes after we receive Holy Communion, but he wants to be united with us fully all the rest of our life, in all aspects of our life. And so that's what it means, you know, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we are the temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so that when we use our body to commit sin, the Holy Spirit in us suffers so much. It's like repeating the passion of the Lord, because that's what happened during the passion. He took all of our sins. And in that way, we are not created to suffer. We're not created to be crucified. That's not the intention of God. That's not the divine will. The crucifixion, the suffering, is the consequence of sin, you see? So that God, when the time came, he came to redeem the world so that we can return back to the Father, to our original state. But then, of course, during the redemption, you know, we did not fully understand what it meant for God's purpose in our life, for his divine will. And so now he gave Luisa the volume so that when we read the volume, we'll have better understanding of God's plan, and that he wants us to really be free from that suffering. But we cannot go back to God without going through the crucifixion now, because it's a consequence of sin, and that's why Jesus suffered, so that we can be returned back to the Father. That's what Madeline mentioned earlier about, you know, resignation. We have to be resigned to the suffering, because we cannot go back to the Father without going through the crucifixion, without going through the cross. Because the cross, if we remember some of the volumes, that it's very important. They're like golden points. It helps us to be humble. It helps us to remember who we are, that we are nothing apart from God. So these crosses can make us humble, whereas if we are so full of ourselves, if we don't experience suffering, we can become very proud. We know that. So I would like to share with you, tying to that reading, the second reading of today, to volume 6, November 29, 1904, because in this passage, it talks about the humanity and the divinity of Jesus. So I'll begin with what Luisa said. The title of this passage is "The Divinity of Jesus in His Humanity Descended into the Deepest Abyss of All Human Humiliations and divinized and sanctified all human acts." Now think about what Mother always tells us about acts and rounds of the divine will. "This morning, I was offering all the actions of the humanity of our Lord to repair for so many of our human actions, either carelessly done without a supernatural purpose or sinful, in that order to infiltrate that all creatures might do their actions with the intention of the actions of Blessed Jesus, and in union with them, to fill the void of glory that the creature would give God if she did so." So this was Luisa doing all of his acts to repair. So Luisa was doing reparation by inserting into her acts the purpose of the intentions of our Lord. "So while I was doing this, my adorable Jesus told me, 'My daughter, my divinity in my humanity descended into the deepest abyss of all human humiliations.'" Now, I'll stop here, because as I read this passage, I meditated on what did Jesus mean about human humiliations. Jesus suffered humiliation. And he mentioned here, he is divine and he's also human. And in his humanity, he descended into the deepest abyss of all human humiliations. I thought about these humiliations. What are my humiliations? My humiliations are my crosses caused by my sinfulness. And Jesus took away all of my sins so that he can redeem me. And he went through humiliations, which should be for me. And he took it so that I can be divinized. So these are, in my meditation, humiliations are our sufferings, which Mother mentioned earlier about being resigned to this, because it's our either divine will or permissive will. So much so, and I continue here, so much so that there was no human act as lowly and little as it might be, which I did not divinize and temporize. So Jesus divinized all of our human acts, no matter how small, no matter how lowly. And you know what? Even our sinful acts, you know, even like, I'll give you an example of sinful acts. Walking, the act of walking is divine. Now, Jesus, we can okay, I walk in my walking, and I'm using this act of walking to do good for love of God. Now, that really makes God happy. But I could also do the same act. I'm walking, and this act of walking is divinized by Jesus. But I'm going to use this act of walking to steal. Now, that is going to make God suffer. This is going to bring Jesus back to his passion. And he suffers. And the Holy Spirit is dishonored by this. Think about this. So the same act, but different purpose, different intentions, right? But even though we have poor intentions, Jesus divinizes that. And he suffers. Think about that. And this, and then I continue here. And this, in order to give back to man double sovereignty, the one he lost in creation and the one I acquired for him in redemption. Now, I'll talk about the lost in creation. We know that when God created Adam and Eve, Adam was the master, you know, the master of all creation, and he lost that by disobeying God. But Jesus acquired for us through his redemption, when Jesus came to live with us, to live among us. But man, when he continued here, but man, always ungrateful and the enemy of himself, loves to be a slave rather than a sovereign, with a means so easy, that is, with the intentions of his actions united to mine, he could render his actions deserving of divine merit. I'll stop here. So what Jesus is saying is that, actually, he said, with a means so easy, see, to live in the divine will supposed to be, it is easy. And he said, what does it require here? He said, that is, with the intentions of his actions united to mine. So when we do our acts with the intention of uniting it to the acts of Jesus, his acts are divine because he's God, then that should be enough, according to Jesus here. He could render his actions deserving of divine merit. See? While he wastes them and loses the insignia of king and sovereignty over himself. So if we do our acts apart from the divine acts of Jesus, we are wasting them. We lose the insignia of the king. And because we're doing this apart from him. So it's very important that we recognize this. And he said, we need to be grateful for this because these are the gifts that we don't deserve. These are the gifts that God gave to us freely because he loves us, whether we love him back, whether we love him back or not. God loves us anyway. So it's, to me, when I meditated on this, it should be harder for us not to be grateful. It should be easy to be grateful because we know now that nothing apart from God is really possible. Everything is possible with God. So I pray for all of us that we will be able to love God, to desire his love, to desire to do his acts. Putting into mind, and Mother, I remember Mother also mentioned earlier, you know, like on the thread of resignation. Can you imagine if, okay, I am aware of God dwelling in my soul. Okay, God indwelling, he's dwelling. And if I worry, Mother, like Mother mentioned earlier, you know, if we worry, you know, all these things that we hear from, you know, mystics, whatever, that, you know, October, we cannot travel anymore. All of these things that are said out there in the media. If we were, imagine that, if I am living in, if Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in me and I worry, is that really the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit worried? Would Jesus worry? Would the Holy Spirit worry? Think about that. So if we worry, then it cannot be God. It is, we worry, of course, because it's our human weakness. If I worry, it's not God worrying in me. It is my weakness. It's me worrying. Then I should resign, then I should step back and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry that I worry. We need to be sorry for that. You know, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe I lack faith. Maybe I lack trust. Please, Lord, strengthen me in my faith. Give me the grace to have more faith in you. Give me the grace to trust you. And if it's possible, you know, if we could go to confession, but if it's not a mortal sin, we don't need to go to confession. if it's just a venial sin, we can just go back to it and feel sorry about it and say, Lord, help me, you know, and then don't entertain those negative thoughts. Don't entertain those things. And if, like Mother said, don't look at the internet. Don't listen to the news. You're wasting your time. Sometimes it's better to just spend time in silence, reading the books, reading your Holy Scripture, the divine books, any spiritual books. You know, that's more beneficial to us than listening to this news that could sometimes, you know, weaken our faith and scare us. So use your time wisely and constantly ask God for help.
Yes, like we like to know what's happening. We want to know the future, but we just gotta remember to live in the present moment, because otherwise, then our life is gonna be full of anxieties and concerns and worries. But we gotta remember that everything that happens, it's from because God allows it, God wills it, God permits it, and everything that happens, and everything that is willed by God is good, whether it looks like something bad or happiness or something we like or not. But things happen for a reason, and we just have to be jump for joy, grateful to God, because we don't know. But God knows everything, and He makes everything, all the crooked lines to the straight line. So we just gotta have more faith in God and just live in the present moment, not to be worried. Because if we are worried, Mother always says, when we are worried, we're out of the will. And you know, like if you see the fruits, if it is anxiety or fear or anger or losing peace, that means it's not coming from God. So when we feel those emotions, then it tells us that we have to be more, we have to trust in God more. So like from the new year, I studied the reading the books of heaven from the volume one, and it doesn't have the dates, so I'm just gonna kind of summarize and as I talk. After Luisa, she did the novena of Christmas, and then she saw the infant Jesus, and from then on, she started, you know, listening the interior voice, and Jesus started working on her soul, and he said to her to detach herself from everything, from the world, from affection, because if we are full of our thoughts or affections, then we cannot truly live. We cannot let Him enter in our hearts, and we cannot listen to His voice. And He is a very jealous lover, and He wants to have everything about us. And he wants us to be all for Himself. And when we promise Him that we want to be all for Himself, then He can do everything for us. He said, "I will do everything for you as long as you promise me to be mine." And Luisa, she also struggled so much because she couldn't, even though she had good wills and wanted to do the will of God, but it was also difficult for her. And she asked for forgiveness because she didn't do the will of God. And this is what I learned from her. Like when you know that you are out of sin, when you are struggling, you just gotta, just with our whole heart, we just gotta pray to God that we love Him with our whole heart, and that to forgive us because we're sinners, to have mercy on us. I mean, I also struggled a lot, and even though like I determined like to live in the divine will and to do the virtues, but I fail many times, and I see that I cannot do it by myself. But God allowed this failures and this falls because He wants me to grow in humility, because He wants me to realize that I am nothing, that He is all. I mean, it is not easy because humility, you acquire virtue of humility through humiliation. So, so it is really not easy, but even like the Saint of Teresa, She said, just in everything, just have the goodwill. Even though we cannot do everything perfectly, but as long as we have the good intention to do the will of God, to live in the divine will, that's really, it will lead us to heaven. It will lead us to the life of divine will. And actually, this imperfection, our flaws are the greatest instruments to live more closer to God. When things are going right or the way we want, we are happy, we are joyous, and when things are successful. But if not, if things are not going the way we want, or when we fall or when we fail, then we get so upset, and then we lose our peace, and we tend to blame on others, because we are doing that out of our will, our human will. But actually, it has to be, our success has to be mixed with failures, because that really humbles us. It does, because otherwise then we're going to think we are something, that we are doing things on our own, with our own power. But we have to realize that we are really nothing, and that God is all, and everything that we can do is coming from God. And really, this is a small way, but when we fall, when we fail, we gotta be joyful. We gotta be joyful as if we are as if we are successful. Because then we're not gonna trust in ourselves anymore. Then we are gonna put our trust in God. And as the Lord knows, we cannot do nothing. We can't do anything by our own self. And we just gotta pray a simple prayer to the Lord that we are sinners, but just have mercy on us. Really, the humility, I think, is really the cornerstone to living the divine world. We can say, yeah, we are lack of this virtue. Yes, I'm not good at this, but that is not true humility. When somebody also thinks of the same way, thinks of you the same way, and when somebody also points out your flaws or your weaknesses or your meekness, and then we get upset. We all know that we are imperfect, but when somebody points out our imperfection, then we get angry. I'm the same way. Like I want to do things right, and it has to be like precise and exact. But then if somebody, if I have to follow the order, then it's not the way I want, but then I still have to die to myself because I'm not always right. And that moment, like there is an interior battle going on in my heart. Like, oh, I want to do this right. I want to be perfect. But I don't have to be right all the time. I don't have to be perfect all the time. But of course it hurts, because it hurts my pride. It hurts my it's really coming. Mother knows.
That's reality. This is the reality. Community life.
I mean, we are reading the books of heaven, but if we don't live it, if we don't apply this to our daily life, it is just head knowledge. It is not, you're not gonna grow in the living in the divine will. So we gotta just admit that we are not perfect, that we are not, that I don't have virtues, that I am not patient, that I'm not humble. And when somebody says that you are not, we should just accept it, even though it's hard, even though you want to get back.
She's consoling me.
Even though you want to excuse yourself, but you just got to die to yourself. And it really is helpful for our souls, more than doing many lots of virtues, but just one act in humility, like accepting it with joy, even though it's hard. But little by little, God is going to lead us to this perfection. Yes. Coming from my own experience.
Oh, you push that back. Okay. Yeah, well, that takes a lot of humility. That's good, sister. That's a humble act to tell our faults. You know, when we confess our own failings and faults to others, it makes them love us more, actually. Yeah. It shows humility. People don't like proud people. They like the humble people. And we must love everyone, of course, but you're going to be more drawn to those humble souls that confess everything that they have wrong. So we all have faults. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. We're not perfect, you know. But God loves us anyway, and he chooses sometimes the weakest people and the most faulty people to accomplish his will. You know, it's like Mother Angelica used to say, we don't know what we're doing, we're getting good at it. I like to say, we don't know what we're doing, but God's getting good at it, because we can't get good at it. Only God can be good at everything. And so we have nothing to claim our own except our faults. Mother Angelica used to say that to me. We can only claim our own faults. Everything good we do, it's God doing it in us. But the sins that we commit, it's us doing those things. So that's the only thing we can claim as our own. So, you know, we have to realize our nothingness. You know, you have to grow in humility. Yes, growing in humility is, you know, confessing your faults, realizing that you can do nothing without him. But beyond humility is littleness. You realize your littleness. And beyond humility and littleness is nothingness. Mm-hmm. Our Lord tells Louisa throughout the writings that we must come to that realization that we are nothing and he is everything. He told St. Catherine of Siena, he says, you are she who is not and I am he who is. And so everything good that we accomplish, it's only God in us accomplishing. So we can't take credit for anything. Even if you have a talent, you have to work hard at. You can be a great pianist. God play the piano better than you, and he doesn't have to practice. You know, God has got all the abilities that we don't have. We have to work hard at everything that we accomplish in a human way, but he's doing it within us. And if you play a great piano, and you ask him to pray it in you, it becomes a divine act. It's a beautiful concert to all of heaven because you're asking Jesus to do it in you. But you do it yourself without calling into your activity, it's not a great concert for heaven. All of heaven is longing for you to do a divine act. Every time you do a divine act, all of heaven celebrates because they all get accidental glory up there from every act and round that you do. I was just reading here, volume one. Be resigned. Your trust must be only in me, Jesus says in volume one. Be resigned because resignation renders the soul radiant and it keeps all other passions in their place. In such a way that attracted by those rays of light, I go into that soul and I transform it completely into me. And I make her live from my own life. And he goes further in volume one to say that true resignation can change the nature of things, turning bitter into sweet. When you accept your crosses, whatever they may be, and you resign to it, it becomes sweet. It can be very bitter and then it becomes very sweet. If you offer up your pains and your crosses, your sufferings to Jesus, you're going to still have the pain, but maybe you're going to have more peace with it because you resign yourself to the fact that this is a gift, a grace from God, and you're more patient with it, and you're not going to suffer as much. But when your emotions rebel against what's happening to you, you suffer more. You don't only suffer the physical pain, but you're suffering the emotional pain of being all upset and angry over what's happening to you. But when you resign yourself to the fact that this is a gift, at least you don't suffer emotionally. You may still have this physical pain, but you don't suffer emotionally over what's happening. You're more resigned to it. So resignation is a great gift. The more resigned we are, the more peace we're going to have, the more joy we're going to have in everything that happens to us. And, you know, we have to start somewhere. We have to get in the habit of thanking and praising God at every moment. You know, scripture says, thank and praise God for all things in Romans 8. For all things work out for good for those who love God. So even the bad things that happen in your life, they work out for your good when you resign yourself to them, when you thank and praise God for them. I've seen miracles take place when people thank and praise God for the crosses in their lives. The devil flees when you thank and praise God for what he's doing. And so when the devil flees, God can come into the situation and change it. Very often it does change, because the devil doesn't want you to thank and praise God over what he's doing to you. So get in the habit of thanking and praising God, and you're going to be so joyful and so happy always. In volume two, I was just reading, if they receive every cross, everything with resignation and thank me for them, I delight immensely, receiving great honor and glory and letting them make the greatest gains. So as you do that, you're going to make the greatest gains. You're going to be growing in holiness. You're going to be sanctified. You're going to be becoming a saint, a greater and greater saint. Now, every one of you will be a saint, hopefully. If you don't plan on going to hell, that means you plan on being a saint. You plan on going to heaven. Like Ralph Martin used to say, don't aim for purgatory. If you miss, you get hell. Aim for heaven. If you miss, you're going to get purgatory. But our Lord told Louisa that those who live in his divine will eliminate purgatory. You won't go to purgatory. So, you know, work at it. Learn to live in it. Read the volumes frequently, every day, regularly. Live, like Sister said a while ago, live what you read, you know. And for us, we must practice what we preach. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we always do, because we're weak too. We may fail in some of the things that we're telling you to do, you know. So you pray for us. We can be more faithful in what we're teaching you to do, you know.
A lot of prayers.
And then the volume two, it goes on to say, resignation, this is August 8th, 1899. Resignation absorbs all that can be painful and disgusting to one's nature and renders it sweet. And since my being is peaceful and tranquil in such a way that no matter what may happen in heaven and on earth, it cannot receive the slightest breath of disturbance. Resignation has the virtue of grafting these very virtues of mind into the soul. A resigned soul is always at rest. And not only herself, but she also allows me to rest peacefully within her. Now, you know, here in this life, we have many hours of prayer. We have some work, you know, the Benedictine way is what prayer, you know. So, but because we have more time maybe to read the writing, but you can make time. Everybody out there can make time. We have a rigorous schedule of prayer, maybe 8 hours of prayer a day, maybe 4 hours of work a day. So we have to work diligently when we work, because we have all these hours of prayer. But even though you are out in the world, busy about many things, have the distractions of the world, you still can live totally in divine will. This gift is not only for us to live in a religious life. God wants all of you to live the same way as we do, not to live the same schedule as us, but to live totally in his divine will. Now, when I met Mother Teresa, I spent some time with her. And she was so holy. She was so transformed. She was transparent. She was beautiful. I just felt that I knew right then she was a saint. I met her in 1992, I think, and she was 81 years old at the time. Now, she was busy about many things. I know Mother Teresa had a Louisa medal, so I think she must have been reading the Divine Will. And one time I saw in a documentary, Divine Will, written on her mother house in India. So, but Mother Teresa was busy with the poor. She was busy all day long. Now, she got up early to pray, yes. But even though she was very busy, she was a great saint, you know, totally transformed into God. So it's possible for all, even lay people out there. I know I heard this priest once talk about, he was a spiritual director, spiritual guide, guiding those people who were trying to, deep contemplatives. He was just teaching contemplatives how to really get more deeper into the contemplative life. And they were all lay people. But one of the greatest that he, not all the lay people, some was, I think, you know, he said many were religious, but he had this one woman that was head of this whole hospital. She was a directress of the whole hospital. And he says she was the greatest contemplative he ever directed. So you can be very busy and yet live a deep contemplative life. It depends on how you do it. You can live, everything you do throughout the day can be a prayer. You calling God into everything you do. You're changing diapers. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You're driving a car. You're shopping. Jesus can be doing all those things in you, and you're praying. That's all a prayer. You're not leaving him. You don't have to sit before the Blessed Sacrament all day long to pray. You just have to call him in everything you do throughout the day, and you're living a deep prayerful life. You live in a divine life because
every act that's being done in you is a divine act because Jesus is doing it in you because you invited him to do it in you. And so you're being transformed more and more into him. And what happens, the more you do that, you take on his virtues, his attributes. You become, like St. Thomas Aquinas said, a little God. We're all to be little gods by calling him into everything we do. So don't think because you're a layperson out there that you can't become a great saint. No, God wants you to be a great saint. You have the ability to become a great saint. You've got the divine will, the greatest gift he could give you. Read it. Don't waste time. And then apply what you're reading into your daily life. And you're going to become a great saint. You know, this life is a gift. And it's short. You can live 100 years and it's like a drop of bucket. Not even that. Compared to eternity. So you're going to have a whole eternity to live. Either in heaven or in hell. So you want a high place in heaven. And you don't do it because you want a high place in heaven. But you want to live in the divine because you want to give God the honor and glory he deserves. So get your motive right. Ask Jesus to give you a perfect motive of wanting to give him honor and glory. And that's why you want to live in his divine will. It's all about him. They want to give him the honor and glory he should have gotten had Adam and Eve never sinned. And now we know in the writings, our Lord told Louisa that he relived every one of our lives to perfection from his conception to his public life. So if he lived every one of our lives to perfection, when we call him in our activities, we're asking him to give us that moment that he lived that part of our life to perfection. We've taken it as our own and returning it to him because he already lived that part of your life, whatever you're doing at the moment, in a perfect way. So you're saying, I want to take what you lived for me and I want to give it back to you to give to the Father so he can get all the honor and glory he should have gotten had Adam and Eve never sinned. So that's why you want to do divine acts and divine will, because you've taken, otherwise you're just doing a human act. But you want to call into your life what he already did for you in a perfect way as a gift and give it back to you. Even when you're doing rounds in the divine will, we can't even do rounds in the divine will. We desire it. We desire to put our eye on views and every blade of grass or everything. But he does it for us. We have the desire. Jesus puts the eye on you and every blade of grass for you. And that I love you shouts to the Father from all eternity, from you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God.
So there's a question. Margaret, she asks, if we are retired and have the time to go to daily mass and an hour of adoration, would that be his will for us?
Yes, that's a very good thing. If you're retired, go to mass every day if you can. And then an hour of adoration, that's a wonderful, wonderful way to grow in holiness. God has given us means to go to daily mass. Now, way back. Years back when I was growing up, not everybody had a car. Very few families had two cars. You had one car. And that one car was used by the father to go to work. So the mothers were home with the children. You know, they couldn't go to daily mass. But they didn't have a car to do that on. Now today, people have one, two, sometimes three cars. You can go to daily mass. The opportunity is there for you. Go to mass while you have the opportunity. You never know when you won't be able to go to mass. Some disaster could take place. It's winter time now. You can have a snowstorm. You know, another disease could come around where the churches are closed again, like once before. Take the opportunity now while the churches are open and there is daily mass. Go to adoration, even though the Blessed Sacrament's not exposed. He's in the tabernacle. You can go in the church and pray. If the church door is locked and it's not too cold, sit on the steps. That's what Bishop Sheen used to do. He took an hour of adoration every day of his life. Sometimes the churches were locked when he was traveling. He would sit on the church steps and take an hour of adoration. God sees your heart. If you can't get to the church, you can take an hour of adoration at home. Just facing, putting your mind and heart in your church, wherever it is, sitting, desiring to be there before the tabernacle, and God sees the desire of your heart, and it becomes a reality, and you're actually sitting there with him before that tabernacle. If that's what you desire to do, and just sit in your bedroom and pray for an hour, focusing on him and the Blessed Sacrament. There's also live adorations on the computer. If you have a computer, you can Google that, live adoration. I think there's one in Poland where St. Faustina was. And
beautiful monstrance.
Beautiful monstrance. I think that the post is in Our Lady's stomach, in her womb, and big post, and you can take adoration there. You know, it's 24/7, that adoration. So I encourage you to do that. It says, my daughter, the passport to enter, this is in volume 3, April 16, 1900. My daughter, the passport to enter beatitude, which a soul can possess on this earth, must be signed with 3 signatures, and these are resignation, humility, and obedience. Now, first we have to be resigned. We have to be humble. Sister Gloria just showed her humility a few minutes ago, confessing her fault. And then you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient. That's what she's trying to do right now. Sisters, we're all trying to be obedient. I have to learn to be obedient too. I have to be obedient to God, the will of God. They have to be obedient to me. I'm the voice of God to them. I'm not God, but superior is the voice of God for the people in the community. We all have to be obedient. Wives have to be obedient to your husbands. Husbands must love their wives. Usually husbands are obedient to their wives sometimes, you know, but they work together.
That's what makes it better.
Obedient to each other, right? Okay, and goes on to say, perfect resignation to my will is wax, which melts our wills and forms a single one. It is sugar and honey. However, at a small resistance to my will, the wax separates, the sugar becomes bitter, and the honey turns into poison. So resignation is so important. Now, it is not sufficient to be resigned, but the soul must be convinced that the greatest good for herself and the best way to glorify me is to always do my will. Now, you don't only do the will of God, you must ask him to do his will in you. That's the difference. It's ringing. Okay. Anyway, you can just tell them on a program. To do the will of God, living in the divine will, is asking him to do his will in you. But you must do his will, because he won't do something that's not his will in you. He won't sin in you. So it goes on to say, now it's not sufficient. Okay, I read that. Here it is necessary, the necessity of the signature of humility, because humility produces this knowledge. So the more humble we are, the more we gain knowledge in who God is and how resigned we're supposed to be to his will. Now, it says, completely destroying one's will and everything which is material, obedience spiritualizes everything and, like a crown, places itself around them. So resignation and humility without obedience are subject to instability. So you have to be resigned and humble. But without obedience, it becomes unstable. But with obedience, they will be fixed and stable. Without these 3 signatures, the passport will have no value, and the soul will be rejected by the reign of beatitude and will be forced to remain in the reign of restlessness, of fears, and of dangers, and to her misfortune. She will have her own self as God, and this self will have the protege of pride and of rebellion. So it's so easy for us to become proud in our society. The world teaches us to get ahead, to make a lot of money, to get a lot of things, to have nice homes, to have everything that we want, you know. The other day when we didn't have power and we realized how much we rely on electricity, on lighting, on water, and we have those things that God has given us as gift, those things are pulled away, are designed to what God is allowing in our lives. Are we resigned to the cross, to grow in holiness, realizing he's trying to strip us of all those things that we're attached to? We're so attached to comforts and consolations. We're attached to all of the entertainments that we can partake in. We always want to feel good, but you never grow through your consolations and your entertainments. You only grow through the cross and through the deprivations God may allow in your life. Goes on to say, the most appropriate remedy for all evils, the main thing that renders us noble, divinizes us, makes us similar to our Lord, and has the virtue of converting the very bitternesses into sweetness, is resignation. What was the life of Jesus upon earth, if not continuing the will of the Father? And while he was on earth, he was united with the Father in heaven. The same for a resigned soul. While living on earth, her heart will are united with God in heaven. So the more you realize the divine indwelling, the more you realize God living within you, the more you're going to have, you will realize
you will continually realize the presence within. You will grow in his attributes, in his virtues, and you will be united to God in heaven. So you can live, you know, we've been praying the Our Father for centuries, live heaven on earth. You can live heaven on earth if you become totally resigned to everything that happens to you. You're going to have great joy and great peace. And when someone corrects you, you're going to have joy and peace, wanting to grow in humility, wanting to die to yourself. You know, if people persecute you, if people talk against you and you find out what they're saying, you should jump for joy. Because our Lord said, you know, when you're persecuted, jump for joy. And you got to realize that you're a sinner. You deserve much worse than what you're getting. Jesus was sinless, and he got treated much worse than any of us would ever be treated. He was persecuted more than any of us would ever be persecuted. And yet he never committed a sin. We have committed sins, so we deserve much more than what we get. Even if you've committed one small venial sin in your whole life, that is a great atrocity along the side of the perfection of God, who's so perfect, and the glory of God. So realize how good God is to you, and he doesn't let us suffer as much as we really deserve to suffer. And he won't give you more than what you can handle. Always believe that and trust him for that.
I just would like to add to what you said. You know, I was reading the last page that you said, you know, that resignation.
Yeah.
And it says here, the same with God in heaven can, okay, the same for a resigned soul while living on earth, her heart and will are united with God in heaven.
Yeah.
Mother, you mentioned about resignation, and we talk about, you know, being nothing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we don't exercise our human will, because human will is God's will.
Yeah, right.
God's gift to us. So I found a passage to connect that, Mother, mm-hmm. what you just read. It's in volume 6, November 24, 1904. Okay. And the title of this, Mother, is In Order to Give and to Receive, It Takes Union of Wills.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, since God's will, divine will, is superior than our human will, we need to resign our human will
mm-hmm.
to God's will. And the Lord is teaching Louisa and us how to do that. You know, like Mother mentioned, resignation. In other words, my human will is still present. I can have the freedom. God give me the freedom to say no, right?
Right.
I have the freedom to disobey God. And we shouldn't do that if we are smart. And if we really want to be in union with God, we should not say no to his divine will. We should resign. But it cannot be truly resignation if we don't have a human will.
Mm-hmm.
We would just like be robots.
Right.
And if we're just like robots, there is no merit from that.
And God will be human, yeah.
Yes.
Our free will is a gift from God. Yeah. He won't ever take away from us. Because our free will is a way for us to prove our love for him.
Yeah. So I would like to read that passage, because this is what Jesus is teaching us. The union of will. You know, the last sentence I read from Mother's reading earlier. He said, my daughter, in order to give, it takes the will of the one who must give. And this is the divine will. He wants to give us his divine will. And the will of the one who must receive. That is our will, our human will. We need to practice it to receive. Otherwise, if someone wants to give and the other does not want to receive, even though the first one wants to give, he cannot give.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Lord wants us to give his life, and if we reject it, he respects that. He respects our human will, and he will not give us. And even hell, I've read somewhere, where hell, Mother, you mentioned about earlier, hell is also God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Hell is God's mercy, God's love. Mm-hmm. So because if I want to go to hell, he's not going to violate.
Well, it's a proof of that with St. Faustina.
Yeah.
She asked him to destroy hell so that people wouldn't suffer.
Yeah.
And he said, but you don't understand, to allow hell to exist is my mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, they prefer existing because we all made to love. We can either love evil or good.
Mm-hmm.
And they love evil so much they want to exist and continue to
be
love
evil.
So he said, I'll show you. He called a soul to himself. He says, do you want me to destroy you? He says, please, please, no, let me exist. Let me exist. So it's even God's mercy that allows them to stay in hell. And it's merciful for God not to draw him to them to himself. He would like them to be with him, but there is so painful for them to be in the presence of such perfection as God. There, it's less painful for them to be in hell than to be in God's presence. That's how much they hate God.
Yeah. So that's right. So I'll continue here. This is really very rich.
Yeah.
I really love this reading. So it said, likewise, if the first does not want to give, the other cannot receive. So, you know, it goes the other way around. If we don't want to give God, then God cannot receive it, because it is to be freely given. It takes union of wills. Okay. How many times my grace is suffocated and my blood rejected and trampled upon. Now, when he mentioned blood here, I think he's talking about his humanity, because it was only through the humanity of Jesus that he will have blood, but his blood is divine. And he poured out his blood through his passion to wash away our sins. That is for our redemption. While he was saying this, I saw all people swarming inside the blood of sweet Jesus, but many would go out of it. Many would go out of it, not wanting to remain inside that blood in which all our goods and any remedy for our evils were enclosed. So I think, you know, again, uniting the blood, the precious blood
Jesus to his passion. And we mentioned about humiliations on our part, because we need to be humiliated. We need to grow in humility, so that if we really want that virtue of humility, then we really need to stay in the precious blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, and it mentioned here, some do not want to stay in the precious blood of Jesus, because you know why? It is difficult. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to be humble. I want to do it my way. Like Sister Gloria mentioned earlier, she's not unique in this. I think all of us do. I mean, I mm-hmm. suffer the same thing. Mm-hmm. I suffer obedience. You know, mother tells me something, you know, I'm like, oh, really? This is not what I want, you know, but then I have to step back and say, Lord, you know, I wanted to do your will. Mm-hmm. And so I will do what mother tells me, and that giving resigned to that, and yeah. now knowing that, you know, I am doing this because she is my superior and this is God's will for me.
I know Saint Rita, her superior asked her to water a dead grapevine, and it was dead, mm-hmm. totally dead. She watered it for years and years. After she died, it became a It came alive, and now people take the grapes and the leaves from that vine, and they're healed through that. So, and another superior asked one of her subjects to plant a tree upside down. She didn't question.
Yeah.
She planted the tree upside down. She grew in holiness, because if you do unreasonable things without, look what Abraham was asked to kill his son, Isaac. He didn't question God. Why do you want me to do this? He didn't ask why. Why comes from hell. When you ask why, you just mm-hmm. do things with blind faith. If God wants you to do it, you do it without asking why. Mm-hmm. That is blind obedience. That's perfect mm-hmm. obedience. But when you have to have everything explained to you why you have to do it, then you're not perfectly obedient. Mm-hmm. But when you do it without knowing the reason and do it anyway to be obedient, that is growing in holiness. That is perfect obedience.
And you know what, Mother, in my experience, and I'm sorry, I don't want to hug the microphone here, but I just would like to share with you my experience on that one, because especially when I was starting the community, mm-hmm. and I was in the world for a long time. I was a late vocation, and I did what I wanted, holy things I wanted to do, my own ideals. And then I come to the monastery, and Mother tells me what to do, even to the littlest thing. And it was hard. But then the more I practiced it, it was hard in the beginning. It's painful, like Sister Gloria mentioned earlier. And I still have pain sometimes, but it's not as painful as before, because living with this community for 8 years and putting into practice what I learned when I read, I received the grace. I'm not going to take the merits, all of this, but it is God's grace, because I asked God, God, help me in my disobedience. Help me in my weaknesses. I am so stubborn. I'm so strong-willed. Help me, Lord. And trust me, when you really are sincere in asking this and going to confession and Mother's spiritual direction and just putting into practice little by little, all this pain goes away. So that when Mother tells me now what to do, sometimes I still question, but it's almost kind of like automatic to be resigned to that. And it's less painful. It's more peaceful. Now, don't tell me that, I'm not going to tell you that it's never going to happen, because once your guard is down, beware, the devil is out there to get. Mm-hmm. So I'm always aware that the devil is always out there to tempt me, but don't give life to it. Again, part of resignation that Mother is teaching us today is do not give life to anything that doesn't belong to God. Mm-hmm. That's the secret. Don't entertain the thoughts that belongs to the devil, because that's what Eve said. That's what happened to Eve. She entertained to this conversation with Satan. When you start conversing with Satan, even in your mind, then that's how he gets you. So when this negative thought starts, throw it away. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to it. That's the first step, the first movement of sin.
Like she said, you know, we have our free will, and that's the greatest gift from God. But with our free will, with our will, we are choosing more actively, actually, choosing to do will of God. So this is not passive, but it's active, actually. And Because with our own will, which is the precious gift from God, we are choosing with our own will to do his will, to live in his will. And she also said about, you know, how we can still be like rebellious and question why I do the same time all the time, like when mother tells me to do something and inside of my heart I'm questioning why, like, can it be this way, like it's my own way. But we gotta, I try to have this motto in my mind, like, not my will but your will be done. And it also helps me like to really take everything coming from God, not to see the person, but really see like a shadow, behind the veil, to see the hand of God. Of course, it's not easy and I get rebellious. Sometimes I get upset, but through that spiritual battle, he really helps me to like grow in virtue and to really humble myself. And if I have that intention to grow in that virtue, to live in that, in the divine will, I know he knows how weak I am. He knows that I cannot do it by myself, but he's gonna give me little by little, like to carry out, to live in the divine will. He's gonna give me all the necessary strength, that constancy, that good intention. So we gotta have like one eye fixed on Jesus and one eye to the work we do. And like, that's why, like, when somebody tells us to do something, then we are not taking it as if it's coming from the person, but it's coming from God. And then we are not going to judge that person. And we're going to try to think whether the work is difficult or whether it's something I like or whether it's easy. But we got to just take everything that's coming from God. And that is always good. The will of God is always good, whether it comes in joy or sadness or something, discomfort. But everything that God allows, he permits, is good. And we got to remember that he is watching over us from the heaven. And we just got to close our eyes to people, but open our eyes and fix it on Jesus. And I try to pray to God often, more often, to give me the grace to start this work, to continue and to end this work, to for the sole purpose to please him, to do the will of God, because that's how Jesus' life was. He was living his life for the glory of God, for the salvation of souls. So we gotta have that one mind, one heart, one will, so that we can more imitate Jesus. And Jesus actually wants us to suffer because it really renders our souls more beautifully. And then it also adorns us with more virtues, more merits. And actually, when we endure the sufferings, those little pricks in our life, little crosses, out of love for God, it's gonna give us more merits. And actually in the heaven, we're gonna thank God for giving us these opportunities, and we're going to thank the people who hurt us or who gave us the difficult times, because they offer us those opportunities to acquire this merit. So, and then we can truly live in the perfect peace.
Yeah, so in the divine will, what I think of, like, abandonment and resignation, I think of, like, little children, like, being, like, little babies in the arms of the Eternal Father. And connecting to this, I'll just read a little bit from Volume 31, September 25th, 1932, where Jesus talks to us through Luisa about the importance of abandonment. My little newborn of my volition, come into my arms. You are right that only in my arms can you be secure. And then later on in this passage, there's these sentences like, abandonment produces sweet sleep, and in the same sleep, she dreams of him whom she loves, and who loves her so much that he keeps her clasped to his bosom. Therefore, abandon yourself totally in me, and I will think of everything. And then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Jesus tells us, like, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the more we grow in our nothingness, the more we become more childlike and simple. And if you look at a little child, you can see, like, they're not, like, when a parent tells them to do something, if it's like a good, holy, and obedient child, the child won't be like, why? Or I want to do it my way instead. The child will be like, in their own way, even without saying the word fiat, they'll like be resigned to what the parent says. And the child just trustingly holds the father's arms to lead the child or the where the parent wants to take the child. So just like that childlike trust and just realizing our nothingness and that we're always like each of us are little babies in the arms of God, whether you're old or young, because age doesn't matter in the eyes of God. It's like our positioning in the Lord. I heard a divine old speaker say that. And it, yeah, so it's just, it's so important to just say fiat, to abandon ourselves and to realize that God will never test us beyond our ability. So even if something bad happens to us, like an accident or something that's out of our control, we have to realize that God allowed this for a reason, to help me grow and to just abandon myself. And God's only doing everything for my own good.
Yeah, I think we're coming to an end. So we'll say goodbye and just you pray for us. We'll pray for you. Okay. God bless you all. We love you.
We love you. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, sister.
God bless you.
Bye. We love y'all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We love you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful week.
Bye. God bless everyone.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Microphone worked. It
ever. Bye, sisters.
It's
kind
of.
Thank you.
10 minutes.
Liz has left the meeting. From Raven Hen from Edinburgh, Texas, alert. Beth Hen, BDV has left the meeting, alert. Audio now muted, alert. Joanne has left the meeting, Zoom meeting, audio now on. LA has left the meeting, Zoom meeting. Maureen has left the meeting, alert. Lee Terry has left the meeting, alert. Teresa Conklin has left the meeting, alert. Meeting, alert. Zoom meetings.